All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Glitch Cube. We're a gaming podcast, and each week we take a deeper look into the art of video games. I'm Christian.
And I'm Chris.
And let's just start this out right now. Let's just jump into it. So what's on your radar right now? There's a lot of interesting new games out there, or maybe some ones that we kind of forgot about. So what are you looking at this week?
Oh, there's so many. Well, it's, you know, Black Friday month, basically. So there's a ton of stuff on sale, and I've been a sucker and I've bought a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
That has finally gone down price, as Nintendo's awful at lowering their prices on stuff.
Yeah, I got mad. Hades went on sale a week after I bought it. Yay.
Is it still on sale?
Yeah, it is.
Damn.
Yeah. Definitely pick that one up.
that always happens, though. You buy a game full price, and a week or a month later, it's like slashed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I got some big name games like Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Nice.
And Squadrons. Like, all of these games like ended up being pretty cheap, but the only one I've actually started playing from this like present to myself stuff is Maneater, which is a shark game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And because I kept hearing like, oh, this game's super short and it's not worth the $30 that they're charging.
Right.
But it's fun. And I'm like, I saw it at Best Buy for, or no, it was GameStop for about, I think, $13.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And I had a coupon for like $10 off, which I used with a few other games too. And I'm like, well, that's not a bad deal for this, because what I kept hearing people say is, oh, the gameplay is usually up to like 15 hours and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, well, looking at it like a dollar an hour kind of like ratio, if it's worth it, I figured I'd jump on it.
Yeah, so I'd say that's less than a dollar an hour, so.
Exactly. And I updated it for the PS5, so it kind of had a little better graphics.
Nice.
Didn't really seem to run any better. Like, there were still hiccups on it. And there was a weird bug at first with trophies, but that's been all been fixed.
Okay.
And the game was a lot of fun. I mean, I definitely would not recommend it at full price. It's definitely a fun game for $10-$12, because I just 100%ed it this morning. Like, I woke up super early before this.
Oh, that was fast then.
And I was like, I want to play it. So I completed it in about 12 hours. So perfect.
Yeah,
for me.
You got your money's worth, and that adds to your 40-40s. Right.
Exactly. I'm almost there.
Nice.
Like, I'm getting there. I think I'm at like 34 right now.
Oh, that's awesome. You're almost there. Yeah.
So the problem is I've started some very long games, and I'm like, dude, I'm not going to finish this by the end of December.
You only got a month left, so.
I need to fill in some of those smaller indie games. But come back to Maneater, it's a fun game. It does get repetitive, and it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to do, but you have three different types of armor, right? Because it has RPG elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an action RPG. And the different body types, one's makes you better at ramming boats. The other one, you can kind of poison enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, you kind of stun enemies.
Okay.
And there was different bosses throughout of it. You were fighting like bigger versions of like a sperm whale or an orca, and it was always fun. Like, it was difficult at times because you could be underleveled pretty quickly, but the max level's 30, so it's not a huge grind. Once you hit 30, you're a mega shark and you pretty much dominate everything. Like, you can eat most things with one bite, and it was cool. I felt like it was just long enough without becoming too repetitious. And I heard that there's going to be DLC next year, some new content, which will be cool. You know, I would definitely play more of it if it was given to me. But for what it's worth, like, yeah, if anybody out there can find it for under $15 and you want a game where you don't have to think too much and just kind of goof around and kill a bunch of things, like, yeah, Maneater's pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like one of those games that would be easily like or have an easy addition of DLC. They can just kind of keep adding to it. And kind of like speaking on that whole like turn your brain off and just play games for a while. Mm-hmm. I did it. I bit the bullet. I bought Pokemon Sword.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And how do you like it?
I actually enjoy it. It's fun. It's you know, it's not like other Pokemon games. It's kind of silly. And honestly, like, so I've been playing it for only about like 3 hours right now. So nothing too crazy. I'm not so crazy or far into it. But all my Pokemon are currently at level 20 or above already. And I haven't even fought the first gym. I just got lost in the wild zone because that was actually really interesting. Yeah. And the fact that you can kind of just like freely go around and just do random stuff. It's nice. It's definitely not like older Pokemon games where like it's cool to be able to see what you're going to catch. And you can kind of like run around and kind of pick and choose, or you find spots where like, oh, there's a Delibird herd over here, right? And they give a shit ton of experience for some reason. So I'm just going to, you know, like slaughter this whole family real quick and and just, you know, rack up experience for my guys. So it's, I don't know, I'm enjoying it right now. I have a feeling I'll beat it just because it seems kind of fun. And I am, I'm curious about like the DLC. I haven't picked up the DLC yet because I want to actually play through the main game first. And then I'll just go and add the rest of it after the fact. And by that time, who knows, there'll probably be even more DLC out there. But yeah, it's definitely one of those like turn your brain off kind of games. And every once in a while, I feel like we just definitely need that in life. It's just you need something mindless just to kind of forget some of the mundane or difficult stuff. And I feel like it kind of helps us get into a better mindset to be able to deal with some of the more difficult things in our lives, is to be able to kind of go into that Zen mode where you don't really have to think about much. It's almost like a weird like gamer meditation almost, right? Mm-hmm. Where you find these games where you can you don't really have to think too much about it. Like Pokemon, yeah, there's strategy to it, but it's still just rock, paper, scissors. Yep. So you can kind of just go. And I mean, I've been playing these games for like 20 years now at this point. So it just definitely is one of those. It's just like, okay, obviously rock type. All right, well, here we go. Let me just throw some water fighting at him real quick and just beat the shit out of him and then just move on to the next one or whatever it may be, right? Like it's nice to kind of have that right now. So it's fun. It's fun. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I picked, what's his name? I don't even know the names of all these new Pokemon yet because I'm so, like, out of the loop. But, like, Squabble or whatever the hell, the water one.
The water?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I picked, too.
I picked him because I wanted his emo hair.
Yeah, that's what won me over.
Yeah. I was like, oh, sweet, dude. The second evolution has bangs? Yeah, I'll take it. And he throws water balloons? Like, I'm kind of loving him right now. So, like, it felt like too much of a cop-out to pick, like, the fire, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's like obviously those are going to be the stronger choices. For some reason water feels like it's always not the strongest out of the bat, right?
No, yeah, it feels like the middle ground.
Yeah, so it's nice, it's fun, it's adding a little bit more of a challenge to it, which is good. But I mean, it's still Pokemon, it's not hard. I'm not gonna like get one-shotted right from the beginning unless I go up against some of these like crazy big rare ones that are just roaming around. Which is,
oh, yeah, the ones that are like 10 levels higher than you.
Yeah, I made that mistake instantly. I walked in the wild and I was like, oh, cool. I'm like, oh, I'm level 6 and you're level 30. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. But it feels like the runaway function is actually like an instant runaway. I haven't had a case where it fails like it used to in the old games, where then you just get taken out, which is, it's nice. It's basically Pokemon with kid gloves. That's what it feels like, so.
That's a good way of putting it. I enjoyed my little bit of time I put into it. Like, I think I got to the 6th gym, and then I just stopped because, like, I don't know. At the time, I guess my expectations were too high for it, and I got really bummed out by it, and I, like, really started disliking it.
Yeah.
But I loved how, I also was doing Nuzlocke with it, so that might be another reason why, like, I was trying to add that challenge.
Yeah, I thought about doing Nuzlocke, but then I was like, you know what? No, I'm just gonna have fun with it. I'm just gonna enjoy Pokemon. And I think that's the thing, too, that, like, when the game first came out, I stayed away from it, because all the negative things I was hearing about it. And mm-hmm. now that, like, I walk into the game kind of expecting some of these, like, negative aspects, I'm like, you know what? This is just enjoyable. This is just fun. Like, I'm not surprised by, like, all of, like, the crappy animations or things like that. It's just, yeah, no, it's Pokemon. It's fine. Like, it's just, it's fun. And it's cool to actually learn some of these newer Pokemon that I just have no idea who the hell they are. It's like,
some of them are pretty cool, too.
Yeah, like, I really want to catch that Apple Dragon just because it's silly. But, like, I kind of want to build a team of just, like, what is this? Right? Like,
yeah.
I would definitely want to get the bag of garbage, because that just is, I love it. It's just a pile of garbage. And I want the ice cream cone, because that's just dumb, right? Oh, like, yeah. I just want, like, a team of dumb Pokemon. It just...
Hell yeah.
Because why not, right? It just adds to the enjoyment. I think that actually might be more challenging, too, because it's the obvious choices are to pick, like, the strong ones. But if you pick them just because they look stupid, and then you just try and beat the game with those, it could be more fun. So,
the Misfit Six.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good... Oh, I like that. That's a good name for a channel.
Right?
That's actually really good. We might have to do, like,
we got a new channel idea.
We might have to do some videos on that. Do some random Pokemon and let, like, maybe the... Let chat decide who we pick, and it could be the Misfit Six.
I like that.
Yeah, that could be fun.
What if we did that with all monster catching games? Ooh, like,
that's good.
But, like, I've been slowly starting to get an urge to play a monster game, and I'm like thinking maybe the Digimon games, the new ones, like the Cyber Sleuth and all that. They look fun.
I've been really looking at Digimon lately a lot more, because they just released the new show. Actually, in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're on... Actually, let me look at that. They're on episode 5 now, which is cool. But it's basically season 1 of Digimon all over again. They just revamped it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's Digimon Adventure, and it just came out this year. I watched the first episode. The animation is a little goofy. Like, it looks a little funny. But, I mean, it's... They're rehashing the series. So you get Tai all over again. He meets Agumon for the first time again. So it's kind of fun. And so it's definitely... Maybe that's why I wanted to play Pokemon again, too. Was like that nostalgia feels, right? I used to watch Digimon every Saturday. And those games were awesome. And, like, I would sit there and play Pokemon during commercial breaks. So it, you know, that might be why I... Definitely needed to play Pokemon.
It's the nostalgia. Speaking again.
Yep, it's coming. It always comes back. It always comes back to nostalgia, which is just funny. But that would be an awesome idea for a little show there. So we might have to kind of pocket that one.
Yeah, I like that. Definitely. Yeah. There's so many like games like this now. It's like there's Nexomon Extinct, which is kind of the big one right now.
Nexomon's fun, from what I keep actually reading. I've played that on my phone. I have it currently.
Huh.
It's actually really fun. It's hard, surprisingly.
That's what I've heard.
It's Pokemon, but hard version. And you can get all the starters in the field, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about picking one and kind of just being stuck with it. You can actually catch all the starters and all the rares, like, pretty early on, too.
I like that.
So it's actually really nice that they included that. Because, I mean, cool. I've always wanted to see a random Charmander in the field, but that just doesn't happen, right?
No, oh, yeah,
so,
never.
Like, that would be really cool. And they did that really well with these guys, so.
That's cool. I'll have to check it out. Like, I just keep hearing about it, but I never actually, like, touched it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a good one. It's difficult, which makes it more fun. But, I mean, all these little, like, cutesy monster games just... They always kind of, like, tug at you, right? Where you're like, oh, I just want to play it because it's so freaking adorable. And it's hard to not instantly kind of, like, fall in love with these guys. Like, speaking of that, with the new release of, the demo's out right now, but Pikmin 3.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out. And those games, always catch my eye. Like, I love those little characters, and playing in Smash, I always pick Olimar. Like, I don't know why.
But, I mean, he's good. He's like one of the better ones.
He's fun. I love using him, but he's just so goofy. And the thing that's crazy about it, for me at least, is that, like, I love these games, and the only one I've ever played was on the GameCube. And I feel like that's one of those games that, like, I never got really far with it. And I've always wanted to kind of explore that world more, but I've just never given myself the chance to do that. So maybe Pikmin 3 will be my chance to actually go back and play this game and learn more about it and actually figure out what's going on in that world. So
I remember seeing Pikmin in EGM back in the day, like, brand new game. Like, I was looking at it, like, what the hell is this Pikmin game? Like, it looks cool. Yeah. You know, like, the graphics looked amazing for the time. Like, yep. the field or whatever. I was like, oh my god, I need this game. And it's funny because I never ended up buying it. Like, I remember always wanting it, but I just never, it was something that never kind of like made me want to, I just overlooked it every time.
Right same.
And I only recently played, I think, the second one, because I was messing around with my Wii U, and that was, I think, on the virtual console for it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I played it a little bit, but I didn't get deep into it.
Yeah.
And I saw that Pikmin 3 was just released on the Switch, and I'm like, ooh, this would be kind of fun. But I don't know. Like, I get it. It's like, because it seems like it's kind of like an RTS, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. So the concept behind it, or at least what I got from playing the first one, it could be that they changed it up completely going forward. But mm-hmm. you basically, you're trying to rebuild your ship, at least in the first one. Crash land on this crazy planet and you need to rebuild it. But you need help in order to gather the materials of your ship to put it together. So mm-hmm. you enlist the help of the Pikmin, which are the cute little like flower characters that run around.
Yeah,
to help you pick these things up and bring them back to your home base to rebuild your ship to get back home. And it takes like X amount of Pikmin to pick up certain objects, and it'll have like a number above it saying like, oh, you need 30 red ones to grab this guy, or like 20 blue ones, or whatever it may be, right?
Right.
And there's like little creatures that run around that try and attack your Pikmin. So you're trying to strategically move around the world to grab all the pieces of your broken ship to bring it back to get you home. So, like, it's a weird concept, and it's very simplistic in its ideas, but the puzzles are there, where you have to get away from these things that are going to start, like, attacking your little guys and make it harder for you to actually get that stuff back.
Right.
Which is interesting. And I found this out years later, but Pikmin was actually supposed to be a Mario game.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. So originally, all of the art assets and everything like that, even Olimar himself, was Mario. Because he was supposed to be Mario in space, and then you help him rebuild his ship.
Hmm.
And if you look at it, so what's his name? His name is Olimar, right? Well, if you it up, it's Mario 1. And Mario 1 was actually the name of the character model that they were using. So
and he kind of looks like him, too.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. So what they did is in Nintendo, apparently they weren't 100% sold on the idea just yet. And so they didn't want to put their big guy, Mario, attached to this franchise that they didn't think was actually going to go anywhere. So they just threw in a random character, and they made up Olimar, and they threw him in because they thought it was just going to be a throwaway title, but they wanted to still put it out because they already put so much work into it. And then it ended up becoming something on its own. So that's where Olimar came from. He's actually supposed to be Mario, which is funny.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's like a weird little thing. I found that in the that Nintendo like biography book. I can't remember what it was called. But there's a really cool book on the history of Nintendo where it goes over from the beginning of it to the very end of it, or to current years, because it's not over yet, obviously. But right. like it talks about how they used to be like a love hotel business at one point.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, because they were in playing cards at first. The sales were tanking in that, so they started buying up love hotels. And for people who don't know what a love hotel is, it's basically exactly what it sounds like. In Japan, you go and you rent a room for a night and you express your love with another person in whichever way you really want to. I'll let your imagination go from there. But then they went back to gaming, and now Nintendo is what it is, right? So it's kind of funny to see where Nintendo has pivoted, where it went from that to now being like a family console. It's known for, you know, being for kids and families. Like, that's kind of like the general idea behind Nintendo. And it's always like cutesy kitty things and stuff like that. So it's cool. It's a really good book, really good read if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff. And we'll put links inside the descriptions for you guys, because I'm blanking on the name and I don't want to clickety-clack on the keyboard and figure it out real quick. But yeah, no, it's definitely it's a good read for sure if you're interested in the history of gaming.
That's interesting. Is it, what does it go up to the Switch, or is it up to like the Wii U, or is it?
I believe it goes up to the Wii U, because the Switch wasn't out yet when the book was out.
Gotcha. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a cool little thing. And you know, I've been trying to collect a little bit more books on gaming, like philosophy, psychology, and companies themselves as well. So there's a lot of really good reads out there for sure.
Yeah, I've been finding more and more books on this, like different subjects, so the companies and the eras and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I just want it all.
Yeah,
I want to be able to read it all and look at the pictures and all that kind of stuff. But
my favorite one so far has been The Psychology of Gaming, I think that's what it's called. But that one, it has the characters from Journey on the cover, so that obviously, like, oh wow,
of course.
But but it goes into the idea, like, very, it looks at it very what's the word, that like from an academic approach, right? So it looks at it from a psychologist standpoint or viewpoint as to, like, why do these games, like, why do people gravitate to them? What do they actually do to us mentally and stuff like that? So it's a cool idea book as well. There's plenty of
I'll have to check it out, because I heard you mention it before. But
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it. It's a quick one, too. It's a really short read, so it's definitely one to check out if you're interested in those kind of things. And for everybody else, well, I'll make sure that those are in the descriptions for anyone that's actually interested in them. And we might throw a couple other books in there, too, if we find something while we're setting that up.
Yeah, I'll throw, there's a few books that I've been looking at recently. I'll give you the links for the description as well. It's mostly like, kind of like the history of like a ton of games for the Super Nintendo, Genesis. Like, I think they do it up to the Dreamcast now, but they're very interesting reads if you're into the more like retro game kind of world.
Oh, like Masters of Doom. That's a fantastic book.
Ooh.
That one's really good. It goes into the full like start and end of id, which is really cool.
Oh, wow.
And like learning about that programmer and what they went through and all that, like, really bizarre people, really over the top.
Yeah.
So it's really, that one's a really cool read. Like, the developer ended up getting rid of his cat because he said he didn't have time to take care of a living creature because he was too busy building new systems for Doom. Like, it's like, what? It's like, you can't just turn around and like, right? Like, it's just
they're pretty easy to take care of too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw an episode on that High Score show about John Romero and the whole id. And it was really interesting how they started. And I mean, they're one of the most like influential kind of in the whole like gaming community, at least for like shooters, you know.
They built entire systems from the ground up. So like when those games were coming out, they didn't have like Unreal or things like that, like already pre-built engines to accomplish the goals that they wanted. That it was all built by one programmer sitting in a room. He built the engine that these games were based off of, and then other people took that engine and ran with it. And that's where we get the shooters of today. So it's on the shoulders of these guys these gaming giants that we have these shooters that we can play now, which is just insane to think about from a developing standpoint. Like, to be able to create an entire engine just on your own, that's nuts. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's bizarre.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, for me at least, I suck at first-person shooter games. I really do, but I can definitely respect the amount of time and effort it takes to make them and actually get good at them. But mm-hmm. I've never been able to actually be good at these games, and it's frustrating. I don't know about you. Like, what's your take on first persons?
I mean, growing up, I didn't really play them too much. Mm-hmm. I only really started getting into them more around like the 360 era,
right?
Like that generation. But, at first, I didn't care for them because I hated how the controller felt. Like, I remember, like, getting decently good, like, ranks and stuff on Halo 3 and all of that. But once I started playing them on the computer, it was a game changer. Like, having a mouse and keyboard for it. Like, I hate sounding like one of those people that's like, oh, PC is better. But
Master Race.
Yeah, when it comes to shooters, like, I can't play it on a console. Like, I try now. Like, I think I was trying to play Far Cry 5 with one of my buddies, and like, we're doing okay, but I'm just like, oh my god, like, I wish I had a mouse so I could, like, I was playing on the PlayStation 4, and I'm just like, why is it so hard? Even with aim assist, it just feels weird. Like, with the mouse, I can, like, aim just right, and I can, it just feels totally different. And I get that some people are really good with a controller when it comes to shooters. Yeah. I mean, you look at, like, different, like, teams, like, competitively, like, especially, like, Call of Duty, they have, like, controller-only players.
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, like, these people are actually good with a controller. Like, that's kind of, it's hit or miss. Because, I mean, sometimes they do leave aim assist on for the controllers, which I get that they kind of need.
Right.
Because aiming is awful with a little joystick. But it's just... Yeah, for me, shooters have been something that I've gotten better at over time, but I have to keep playing them to stay good. Like, I remember last year, I randomly got into Warzone, and, like, over the few seasons that I played, like, I was getting better and better at it, to the point where in my squad, I was getting, like 10, 15 kills, and, like, it was easier for me.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I think it varies on the shooter too. You know, like, Warzone, I was really good at, but when I play like PUBG or...
I suck at PUBG. Ugh.
Like Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike Source, I loved. I mean, it was pretty easy to get kills in that game, but I loved it. And then like Counter-Strike Go, it's like, oh God, like, I'm awful at it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just... It's weird. I guess it really just depends, like, how much time I devote to one of those shooters, and then I just get really good at it. But when I try to play a different one, I'm, like, awful.
Well, for me, at least, like, those first-person shooters, for some reason, I've just never been able to be good at them. Like, I played a lot of Destiny, and I played a lot of Gears, and I love those games. But I loved the story of it. As soon as I got into, like, PvP, I was done. It wasn't fun for me anymore. Because I just, right. I couldn't keep up with these guys. And it just, it's one of those things, but it harks back to, like, I mean, even Halo. Halo, I loved playing when I was younger. And I loved the whole idea of, like, going to your buddy's house and playing these games. But I just sucked at them. Like, I was always the one where it's like, all right, 30 minutes into the game. Well, fuck it. You know, suicide grenade, always. Or something stupid, right? Like, I was always doing, like, dumb things because I just couldn't do anything else. And I don't know, it's just, maybe that's just my Twitch reflexes, or the games that I grew up playing were more like slower paced, like strategy games. So like, I don't have those like Twitch skills. And like you said, like as soon as I stop playing a game, like one of those kind of games, I'm just done. I'm out of it completely. And I can't go back to it. Like with Overwatch, that happened to me.
Oh yeah.
I played so many hours of Overwatch and I actually got pretty decent at it. And then I stopped for a little while. And like a few months ago, I tried hopping back into a game and I was like, nope, I've gone too far. Like, I've gotten out of it for too long, and there's no way I can keep up with these kids anymore.
That's another thing, is like, it's an age thing, you know. It's, we're not 16 and playing games all day when we're not in school, you know. It's, we have responsibilities now. We can't devote a ton of time to this unless we're like,
we have like 1 or 2 hours maybe a day or something like that. And with those games, you need to treat it like a second job, honestly.
Oh yeah.
In order,
I mean, when I was playing Warzone, there'd be nights where for sure we would play it for like 5 hours straight, and that's why I was getting decent at it, because I was throwing a whole ton of time into this game. But for people that only spend like an hour or two with it, it's hard to get good at it, and it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. Know,
unless you're, I mean, that's why I kind of stay away from them now. Like, I'll only play them, especially online ones, if they're free, because I'm not going to spend money on a shooter when I'll probably play it for like a month or two and then get over it. And then if I get back to it, then I'm just awful at it.
Right.
It's not worth it for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, like, I always watch like Let's Plays of these kind of games, and I've always wanted to get good at them. It's just, I can't get into it. And like you said, like, I don't want to end up spending money on these things just to get wrecked and then just never touch it again. So, yeah, it sucks, because they definitely are fun. Like, I get the appeal. So,
I think the last encounter where I really noticed it was, I played the 2016 Doom on PC. Loved it so much. And then I got Doom Eternal on the PlayStation. I was like, okay, I can't wait to get into this. But then it was just the difference of using the controller just made it so hard for me. I don't know why. It felt like it was too, even though I lowered the sensitivity, it just kept going everywhere. But I think for me, when I think about like what games I wish I were better at, I think, probably like Soulsborne games, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten to the point in Dark Souls 1, because I want to play them like in order. You know, I don't want to jump straight to Dark Souls 3 because it's more current. You know, I want to play through the old stuff first. And in Dark Souls, I'm up to the forest. I just beat the boss there, and I'm going back. And
the forest boss there, which, that's the wolf, right?
The moth.
The moth, that's right. That's right.
And, you know, for me, like, I tried playing Dark Souls so many times. Like, when it was first came out on the 360, I was like, this is cool. Like, all my friends are raving about it. Playing it a little bit, I'm getting past Undead Burg, and then I couldn't get into it. Like, it, at first I was like, this is kind of slow. I wasn't into dodging. I was always more of a person that tried to like just throw my shield up and take hits, you know, but you can't really do that in that game. Like, you have to be good at rolling. You have to parry. And parrying for me was something like I could never like kind of comprehend when it came to these games.
It's tough. It's definitely a weird skill that you have to acquire. And it's once again one of those games that you have to put a lot of time into it in order to get decent at them. Like, I remember I beat Dark Souls 2, and that's the only Dark Souls that I've beaten. But that was whenever I first moved back out to California. I didn't really know anybody yet. Like, I didn't have any friends or a girlfriend yet at that point, you know. And I literally just, I would go to work, get home, and then just play Dark Souls. And that's all I did. And I mean, putting in that much time and effort into it, that's why I was able to beat it and actually get like semi-decent at it. But I think now, like, I tried playing Bloodborne like last year, something like that. And fuck, like, I was able to, I just kept getting wrecked. I was like, you know what? This isn't fun. And I don't have unlimited time to dump into this just to get decent at timing these things and learning the animations of all the enemies to know when to properly dodge or hit, or when I can, you know, cancel out their animations or whatever it may be. Like, it's just like, no, I don't have the time for this. I can't.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think I really like started getting good at these kind of games in general until, even though this is not a Souls game at all, but when I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I started really practicing with like parrying, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna, maybe one day I'll get back into a Souls game, right?
Right.
I waited, 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 and then Ghost of Tsushima came out, and that's where I really learned how to parry like easily. And I'm like, okay, now I think I can actually do this. So I went, as soon as I beat it, I went back to Dark Souls. And that's when I started playing from the start all the way up to the forest. And I was like, okay, this is kind of easy now. I mean, parrying is still kind of difficult in the first Dark Souls for me, because it's like,
there's such a short window. It's,
yeah. I'd rather just roll out of the way, which I've gotten a lot better at. But it's definitely a lot easier for me now. Playing through it, I definitely want to keep playing. I also really just want to play Demon Souls now, because I know it's going to be a much cleaner experience. And I heard it's a little bit easier on the PS5.
Oh, did they dumb it down a little bit?
From what I've heard, there's some like things they made a little bit simpler. So,
well, that's smart, because Demon Souls was like stupid hard.
Yeah, that's what I was heard.
Yeah, that one was always like overly frustrating hard. At least with Dark Souls, it's frustrating, but you can still kind of brute force through it.
Yeah.
But with Demon's Souls, it felt like no matter how hard you brute forced it, like, unless you have the timing down, you're done. Like, you just can't progress. So,
yeah.
At least that's how it was before. It's changed now, I'm sure.
Probably. They wanted to get more of like an audience in there for the most part. But another thing that I thought was cool about these is that you can have like a buddy join you.
Oh, nice.
And I noticed that makes things a lot easier too. Okay. The only problem is the people that I know that still like playing these games don't play them anymore. Mm. So it's kind of maybe out of the blue to really bug them to play it.
Right.
But yeah.
That'd be cool to do a co-op adventure of Dark or the Souls games.
I'm down. Yeah. I mean, I still have Bloodborne, and I only got to the first area, and then I didn't get far because like I just ran straight into like a whole group of enemies, and I'm like, oh god, like I'm done, you know, like, and that's, I love the world, I love the setting that it's in, but I'd be definitely down to do like co-op with that, because I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. I'm totally down for that, and that would get us to, you know, kind of tackle our inner demons of these games, so to speak, right? And just kind of
bless our souls.
Yeah, exactly, right? To maybe I guess give ourselves that reassurance that no, we actually can play these games, we know what we're doing.
Exactly. That make us look good.
Yeah, you know, just feel better for a little bit, you know, stroke the ego for a little while.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah,
you know, there's nothing wrong with that. No. go ahead.
Obviously, like, the Souls has bled into, like, a lot of genres now, so it's, like, kind of easy to play other games that are maybe a little bit easier. You know, you look at Hollow Knight and, what's another big one? I played a few of, like, the, I don't want to say knockoffs, but games that have the same style, like Surge 2 and Lords of the Fallen, like, those kind of games. I surprisingly got really far in those, but I think, for me, the biggest problem was always, I just always think back to the original Dark Souls, how clunky it is.
Yeah.
I feel like those games where you have to be really precise, you need that like 60 frames per second and like make sure like everything like runs perfectly.
There's no player forgiveness in those games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to really think about that. And when those games first came out, I remember looking at them, and I'm like, why would anybody want to play this? Like, this makes no sense to me, because it went against everything that I understood about, you know, the risk-reward system, or just, like, how gaming was supposed to feel, I guess, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Where it's you over time you can get better to tackle this challenge in front of you. But really, with those games, there is no like progression system. It's just, it's either you as a player level up yourself instead of leveling up a character, or you just fail, right? And it, like, I actually have grown to really appreciate that model a lot. Like, in recently with the Monster Hunter World, when that coming out, I got back into those games. Yeah. And I love Monster Hunter, but it was another one of those games that always was one that I would pick up and then I sucked at it. And I always wanted to get, like, those were games that I wanted to get into, like, really dive into them. But with the controls and like the awkward camera movements of the original games, it was always really hard to really invest the time to get good at them. And with Monster Hunter World, it showed me that like leveling up you as a player is possible, and it is fun and it is rewarding, right? But once again, with those styles of games, once you stop playing, you lose it. And then you have to put in the hundreds of hours to get back to that level again. And that's frustrating for people. And I don't know a lot of people that really want to just do that and continue that grind over and over and over again every time they take a break to play something else. Like, I'm not just going to play one game for the rest of my life, right? So
yeah,
being able to hop out of a game and hop back in where you left off and still feel like you know what you're doing is a rewarding experience. So that's why, like, those kind of games, like the Souls games and all that, like, those were always really challenging for me to really get into, because I always knew as soon as I stopped playing for like a week, even, like, I'm just gonna be out of it, and it's just not gonna be a fun experience anymore. So I mean, that's my opinion, right? Like, it's just one of those things that I'm sure a lot of people out there love those games no matter what because of the challenge rating, right? And that's just fun for them to continuously get beat up all the time and just trying to figure it out over and over again. I don't know, for me at least, it's hard to really get into those.
Yeah, no, I feel you. The challenge sometimes can be a little bit too much.
Yeah, no, agreed. All right, well, I think that's gonna do it for us tonight. Thank you guys for listening to this little episode. We went on a little bit of a tangent, a little spiel on games.
A little
40-minute tangent on games that we, you know, wish we were better at, wish we could play more to just really dive into them. And these are games that I feel like I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we really appreciate what they've done, and we can, you know, actually get excited about these games without having to play them necessarily, because they're awesome games regardless. And you know what, like, kudos to those guys for making amazing games and continuing to figure out how to break that mold and just push it a little bit further. But it's just one of those things that we wish we were better at it, and we wish we had more time to play them. But yeah, so I think it's that time, Chris. I think it's the time for you to feed us our wonderful question of the week.
Oh boy, oh boy.
So what do we got in store this time?
Just a simple question this week with what genre, what game do you wish you were better at? Doesn't have to be anything like competitive wise, but like just anything in general. Like, what's something that just you wish was easier for you?
Nice. All right. Well, thank you again for listening to us. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's for us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.